first tell me what you see as the biggest challenge for journalism schools now.
Well, undoubtedly the biggest challenge is that journalism education was, for most of its life, based around platform-specific training. And the boot camp approach to teaching young journalists.
Right.
And so you had newspaper majors and magazine majors and broadcast majors, and there was some common elements like media law and ethics, and then there were all these attempts to train people in the production requirements of a particular platform. And that was the idea, that was the concept. And it's just not a very good concept anymore. And so the biggest challenge is what should be placed that concept. And the boot camp idea is similar to the notion in the military. In the military, you take 18 and 19-year-olds and you take them out of their environment. You cut their hair. You take away their clothes. You take away their friends. You take away their culture. And you break them down so that you can build up a soldier.
Right.
And in the journalistic version of that, you take people who want to be journalists and you take the voice out of them, and you get the bad habits out of them, and you you make them all into shoe leather reporters, and then you can build up a professional journalist that way.
Mm-hmm.
But for various reasons, that's not necessarily the best way to educate young people anymore either. So those are the two biggest challenges, is that the whole institution was based on these concepts of platform-specific training and a boot camp mentality that aren't necessarily applicable today.
And what do you think they can do to deal with that?
Well, the most likely thing that the J schools would do is something we've already seen, which is you just create a new media curriculum or a convergence curriculum or a digital journalism curriculum, and you just tack that onto the existing structure, and you kind of hope that'll be enough. And I don't think that works very well at all. So what I tried to do when I thought about this problem, and I had to start thinking about it back in 1999 when I became chair of the program at NYU, and I was chair from 1999 to 2004, and the web was becoming bigger and bigger every year. And so I started to go back and sort of think about how journalism education got itself into this situation and what might be a better way of doing it. And one of the things I did was look around at other disciplines and how they did professional education. And I cast my eye on the arts, because in the arts they had very different metaphors for how you teach people to become really good architects or painters or designers or dramatists. And it was from there that I got the notion of a studio approach. So that's how Studio 20 came about. It's based on a different idea that if you bring talented people into a common space and you give them really cool projects to work on in a studio environment, that they'll learn what they need to learn. So that's how we solved it at NYU. I don't necessarily say that that's the way to solve it for others, but that's just the best thing for us to do in our program. And the best thing that I could think of, given the kinds of things that I study and wanted to teach. So that approach comes partly out of my conviction that metaphor is woven so deeply into the DNA of journalistic training that the only way you could get it out was by actually replacing it with a better metaphor. And that's what the studio idea is. And so in Studio 20, we take diversely talented people, people who have some skills they're bringing to the table, whether those are technical skills or audio or video, or they're bloggers or they're writers or they're editors or they're managers, and we put them together into a kind of team, and then we run projects in innovation and development with media partners, and the students learn by completing the project. And so this is my attempt to kind of adjust journalism education to the problems that I mentioned in answering your first question.
Yeah. And what have you learned so far? And you've done it for 1 year now, right?
1 year, and we had the second class that just came to NYU. I haven't actually met them yet. I will meet them for the first time Monday.
Okay.
So we had one group which is in their third semester now.
Okay.
And then we have a new group that started this week.
And so is it a two-year program?
Three semesters.
Three-semester program.
Fall, spring, fall. So the first group is in their final semester.
Got it.
New group is coming now. What have we learned? We learned the following things. First of all, graduate students, which is, as you know, is a slightly different situation than undergrads, do a lot of shopping around. And the students who picked this program knew why they were picking it, and they compared it to lots of others. And so self-selection works. Secondly, it's very important to give students a handle on the entire puzzle of sustaining quality journalism today, from the business model to the technology to new practices to tools and techniques to ethics and other traditional values that are still relevant. And we have gained, I think, by educating them broadly in the struggle for survivability that the press is engaged in right now. The third thing we learned is that it hasn't been hard to find partners who want to work with us and our students in development projects. That's been a very gratifying discovery.
Who are some of the partners?
Well, we did a sort of a consulting project with The Economist that resulted in a report that we gave them. It's not public, but it was part of their own challenge in learning what to do with economist.com. The biggest project we've done was giving birth to the local East Village with the New York Times. So they were a partner. And then the first group of students is now taking a class with me in their third semester, where they all have to do individual projects, and they all have partners for those individual projects with their defining, and they're setting the goals, and they're working with the partners themselves. So some of the partners we're working with there are BBC, and one of them is with the local. It's a special technology being developed for the local. AOL is a partner with another student. There's a urban nightlife site called Urban Daddy, which is doing something with one of our students. Channel 13 in New York is another partner. So it's a range, very wide mix.
So the local deal that you have with the New York Times, is that just Studio 20 or is that NYU in general?
No, this is somewhat complicated. Studio 20 was involved in the planning and conceptualizing and a lot of the groundwork caught, of course, in the spring of 2010, from January to May. That was the entire Studio 20 group, with a couple of others who wanted to join us, and Rich Jones, the editor of The Local, and editors and other journalists from The New York Times who helped us. And that's where the site was designed and conceived, and a lot of the problems in doing it were worked out. So the students had the opportunity to essentially to work on a kind of a startup within this major news organization.
Yeah.
And when it launches, which is a Monday of this month, September 13th, it will kind of shift over to the Reporting New York portion of the NYU journalism program. And we're running a big class called the Hyperlocal Newsroom, which is mostly graduate students, that will feed talent to The Local. And then the Studio 20 students will be able to use it as an innovation laboratory. So if they have something they want to try, they will be able to try it with The Local. But the idea was that it would kind of move over to the Reporting New York program, which is, of course, teaching people local reporting. So The Local becomes the way that we do that. And it's going to be, I hope, our major teaching tool for local news reporting.
What do you think about all these kinds of, there's also, I know Berkeley out here is doing that with Mission Local, where they've got this kind of collaboration with hyperlocal sites. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? I mean, there have been a lot of people trying hyperlocal sites that have kind of didn't work that way. Some of them worked when it was someone in the community. You know, what do you think the students can bring to that?
Well, we have been under a mandate from the Times from the beginning to make this as much a community site as it is an NYU production. So 50% of the material and the ideas are to come from the community itself. And that has been part of the planning of the site from the beginning. And part of the reason for that is that if you make it simply a product of the students' work, then it tends to ebb and flow and ebb during summer and school breaks and kind of adopt the rhythms of the academic calendar. And this site can't do that. It has to operate 52 weeks a year.
Right.
And it is supposed to be and will be an opportunity for the Times to learn about community journalism. And so one of the things that I think makes it distinct and a challenge is that students are going to be involved in that too. They're going to be involved in working with community contributors, and they are being challenged to be partners with the community. So I think there's an opportunity for a lot of learning for both the Times and us in making that work. I think it's going to be a big challenge, and this is going to be hard. It's going to be hard to do because there's just a million, well, not a million, that's exaggerating, but there's just many, many parts that have to fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be good, you know? It has to be good, and it has to be good consistently. And I think it's going to take us a while to figure out how to do that. But it seems to me that ultimately, this is going to be a better way to learn reporting than from a textbook or classroom exercises or even the student newspaper, which is also a very good way to learn.
So it's giving them real life experience, and also, I guess, the experience of collaboration, which is now becoming a big
part. Yeah, it's collaboration,
too.
And it's both classroom and real world at the same time. And that's the combination I think we're going for, where it's got the advantages of a university environment and it's totally real at the same time. That's what I'm trying for in the Studio 20 program. I think that's what the local provides as well. But it's very important to emphasize, Mark, that the local East Village is not supposed to be a demonstration for a typical hyperlocal site. It's not trying to produce a replicable model for, you know, thousands of hyperlocal sites like Patch or something like that would be trying to do. It's just a very different kind of project.
Meaning that it's just something for one neighborhood.
Yeah, and we're just trying to do something that makes sense for this neighborhood and this community, which is our community, because the NYU journalism program is located in the East Village.
Right, of course.
And many students live in the East Village, and NYU is a major player in the East Village.
And will there be continuity? That's another thing I've heard of with these kinds of journalism school projects, that, you know, new students come in, new teachers, et cetera,
right,
and then things just kind of fall away. Do you have a plan to keep it?
Well, that was something that was on our mind from the beginning as well. And that's why we have an editor of the local who is an NYU faculty member, a clinical instructor at NYU, who is going to provide that continuity.
What about student expectations? Do you think that's changed over the years from, let's say, 90s to now, as far as what, when they come into schools and programs, what they're looking for or what they want to get out of it?
I'm sure it has, but I don't know how to characterize that because I think maybe in one sense it hasn't, in the sense that students want entree into a career in journalism. That has not changed. They want us to help them join this world.
Right.
From 86, when I started at NYU, to now, that has been consistent. What's changed is what they can reasonably expect, simply because the employment picture is so different and the disruption of the industry is by now well known.
And so when they're coming in, I mean, they still want the entree, but they must.
They do.
I guess they must have diminished expectations, or maybe there's a different route for them to take.
You know, I don't spend a lot of time worrying about it. The reason I'm hesitating is I know that they want entry into this world and they expect us to help them, and that's a good enough mission for me.
Okay. Do you think that now there's been a lot of argument over years and years about whether, you know, is journalism school necessary for someone to be a journalist? And obviously
sure.
There have been tons of people who haven't.
Yeah.
Do you think that argument, where does that, has that shifted at all too? Because of all that you can maybe learn on your own when it comes to technology, or is there still
necessity
for people?
First of all, it's always been that way. Journalists who didn't go to journalism school tend to say, why would anyone go to journalism school? And I understand that. Between 40 and 60% of the profession has always been able to make a career in journalism without going to J school. I think that is a good thing. I'm in favor of that, even though I'm a journalism professor. I think that's good and necessary in any way. It's inevitable because you can't create a regulation like you would have in medical school, right, where you have to have a certain kind of training. That would be against the First Amendment. So it's
although in Italy, I guess they do that.
Well, yeah, but they don't have a First Amendment in anything like we do. It would be an aspect of press freedom to me, so it's good. And I think there have always been people who are able to make it into journalism without that, but not everybody knows how to do that, and not everybody can do it on their own. And for a lot of people, we represent a way to act on their ambition. And I think that is our charter. That's our mission. We have to take that seriously and serve them in that sense. And if we couldn't do that, if we weren't able to deliver on that, then I don't think people would enroll in journalism school.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious the way journalists sort of scoff at J-School. I'll tell you why. It's not directly responsive to your question, but I think it's important for this interview. And this is also involved in why I started Studio 20. When I looked at sort of the structural relationship between journalism education and the field of practice, let's say the news industry, I saw something very different than what you would see in other professions like the classic ones of law and medicine, for example. In medicine, no doctor is under any misimpression about why you have professors of medicine doing research. And they know that there's a connection between the intellectual work of a medical school and the improvement of medical practice. And in journalism school, what you find is that the demands from the employers were very narrow. Basically, what the employers wanted from J-schools were graduates who they can plug into their production routine tomorrow who wouldn't libel people, right? And in a way, what that is offloading training costs onto the university. That's what they wanted.
Right.
And one can understand why they wanted that. But what they didn't ask for is faculty and students and university-based institutions that were working on problems of innovation and research and development and, you know, the future of journalism. They didn't really think about that or care about that. Then when the crisis hit, you know, after, let's say, 2004, or you could date it to 96 or 2000, you pick a year, they didn't have an institution that could help them rethink what journalism should be in a radically shifted world. And it doesn't seem to occur to them that if they had asked more of the J-School, you know, they would be in better shape now. But ultimately, I think journalism schools haven't been as useful to the world of practice as they should have been, nor did practicing professionals demand as much of the J-School as they should have. And now we can see why that's so important.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. And maybe in these kinds of projects that you're talking about, you're doing that in a way for them. It is.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make a start on that. But, you know, it's going to be a long process of trial and error before we can say we succeeded at it.
Yeah.
But there's other signs of it. There's the New England Investigative Reporting Consortium, you know, with Walter Robinson and the Boston Globe. which is kind of interesting, where there's like a partnership between Northeastern and the Boston Globe there. There's something similar in Southern California.
Right.
There's the stuff in the Bay Area that you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the outlines of an emerging model that I think that itself would be worth a piece of media shift.
For sure. I think I'll get to that.
Yeah, it's not, you know, nobody's really put it all together.
Yeah.
And, like, it would be really interesting to look at, like, all the examples we can find of that happening and try to identify what's the pattern here, you know.
Yeah.